The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
Good.
Good. Everybody's back into the swing of things with school? That's good. I'm still working on it. So I guess y'all all know what this is, right?
A backpack.
That's right. What do we do with a backpack?
We take it to school and put it on our backs.
Why? Why do you put it on your back? So you can carry stuff in it. Can you carry this for me? Oh, I'm going to make noise. Can you put this backpack on for me? Are you sure? All right. You got your strong muscles? Because it's heavy. You got it? All right. So if you walked around with that backpack all day long, do you think you'd be tired? It's pretty heavy, right? It has burdens in there. Do you know what a burden is? No? Nope, that's a bird. I need to know what a burden is. Do you know what a burden is? A burden is something heavy, something that we carry around. A nuisance, yes, a problem. So, in the Bible, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." So if you are walking around with that backpack and you're getting heavier and heavier, what could y'all do to help him?
Take some out.
You could take some out. Why don't we do that? Why don't we take some out and see what kind of burdens Patrick is carrying? So y'all come up here. Everybody come get a burden. Let's see how many we have in there. Oh, what are we going to give to Owen? Owen, you get the burden of school. Sometimes school is a burden. It's heavy, right? Molly, what did you get the burden of? Hold it. It's heavy. Parents. Sometimes parents are heavy. Sometimes they're rough. Molly, what did you get? You got bullies. Sometimes bullies can be a burden, right? They're never good to have around, those bullies. What else do we have? You want to hold that one for us, McKinley? What'd you get? You got chores. Sometimes chores are a burden, right? Yes. Does your backpack feel lighter? Is it easier for you to walk around? I'm so glad. Can I have the backpack back? Thank you. So, this backpack, thank you all very much, is sometimes our heart is like this backpack. Sometimes we carry burdens in our heart, and they're heavy, and they weigh us down. So, in order to fulfill the law of the Lord, what should we do for people who have heavy burdens in their heart?
Help them.
So, who all do you think who could we talk to help us with those burdens? Friends, right? Y'all are friends. You could talk to each other.
Yeah.
You know, maybe your burden is your parents, and you're going to talk to your friends about your parents, right? Or maybe it's something that Pastor could help us with. He helps lots of people with their burdens, right? Or sometimes it's a parent thing, and we really need to go to our parents and get help with them, from them, for our problem, right? Yes? So when we have burdens, we are going to help one another, right? Okay, let's say a prayer. Fold your hands. Dear Lord, help us to help one another with our burdens. Amen. Thank you very much. Y'all have a great rest of your day.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's always amazing to me that when I go somewhere, particularly out of town, maybe it is on vacation, maybe it's a business trip, maybe it's a convention, or maybe just to travel or do different things, and it's probably happened to you as well then too. You talk to people you've really never met before, and you find out there's a connection, that maybe they have a relative in Nordheim, or maybe they've been to Yorktown for something or another. Or maybe they've had some work dealings in Quero. But then you can be out on a cruise and meet somebody like that. You can be across the United States and meet somebody like that. You could be even in a different country. And there's always seems to be some kind of connection. You know somebody who knows somebody who knows who you know. There was a theory that goes along this lines that it's called the 6 degrees of connection. And what that theory basically says is that we are connected to anybody, particularly here in the United States, by only 6 people. It only takes 6 people and you will find somebody that knows who you know. This theory was tested in 1967. Researcher wanted to test this theory. So what he did was he found 96 people randomly chosen who were willing to help, and he gave them each a letter. And he said, sign this letter and send it to a friend, and that friend then is supposed to sign it to a letter, sign their name to the letter, and so forth. The researcher had in mind a particular person in Boston. If this guy in Boston would ever receive any of the letters, and how long would it take before he would receive any of these letters? None of the letter senders knew who this guy was. They didn't even know about this guy. And so the experiment took place. The letters were sent, and then the next set of letters were sent, and so forth. And the guy in Boston started receiving letters. He knew about this project, and he started receiving letters. And so at the end of the experiment, they got together and they looked to see how many letters he had and how many signatures were on each of those letters. And it came out to be an average of 6. We are 6 degrees away from being connected to somebody else, to anybody else. This experiment was tried again about 35 years later using email. And they came up with the same results. About the average was between 5 and 6. people between the connections. We are connected to different people. And we see this even being played out here in the gospel lesson for today. Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist, and Jesus was walking by, and John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then again, too, the next day, John was talking with a couple of his disciples, and Jesus walks by once again, and he says, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples saw Jesus, and they decided to follow Jesus. And so they asked Jesus, "Where are you staying?" And he said, "Come and see." And they did. They followed him, and they saw where Jesus was staying and spent the day with him. At the end of the day, then, one of these disciples of John who had followed Jesus was Andrew. That was Simon Peter's brother. And so he ran and told Simon, "We have found the Messiah. We found the Lord." And then Peter, too, came and found Jesus, came and followed Jesus. And so it goes from Jesus to John to Andrew to Peter, and then it goes on past that. We are connected. There's that connection in there. The next story in John's gospel, which we didn't get to today, is that story of Philip and Nathanael. The same thing happens. Jesus sees Philip and he says, "Come follow me." And Philip follows him. And when Philip has spent the day with Jesus, he goes and tells his friend, Nathanael, "We found the Lord." And after some convincing, Nathanael decided to come check it out. And sure enough, Nathanael too then started following Christ. It plays out again if you look in Acts of that conversion story of Saul. Saul did not personally meet Jesus other than that voice that came to Saul that says, "Why do you persecute me?" But then it went from Saul, or it went from Jesus to the disciples, to Ananias, to Saul, and then throughout the known world, because Saul became the greatest missionary there ever has been, who went to a number of different places and started congregations and preached about the word of Christ. Many thousands of people believed in Jesus Christ because of those connections that continued on. How about us? Are we continuing in those connections? Are we a part of that? How far removed are we from Jesus? You know, what's interesting here with all of these people, each one of them may have had a personal, in-person contact with Jesus, like Peter and Andrew and Philip and Nathanael. They all had personal, physical relationships with Jesus. But then, too, there was something much deeper, and that was the spiritual relationship with Jesus. Saul did not have an in-person relationship with Jesus, but yet he had such a deep spiritual relationship with Jesus. So that as these connections go on, you know, from Jesus to John to Andrew to Peter, each one of those has a personal relationship with Jesus. And it continues today. That through the generations, think about it, that story has been passed on from parents to children, from grandparents to children, and also sideways, from friend to friend, or from work colleague to work colleague. It's been passed on through the generations. Even though we have not had that in-person relationship with Jesus, we have that very deep spiritual relationship with Jesus. How far removed are we from Jesus? Now, studies have been done or are conducted, interviews, different things, to find out how often is it that we invite people to come to worship? How often is it that we say, "Come and see, come and be a part, come and join us"? The study found, and it's not very heartening, is that the average Christian does that once every 28 years. Think about it. When's the last time you invited somebody to come and worship, or come to a Bible study, or come to one of the functions or projects that we have up here at the church? It doesn't happen all that often. And Because of that, I think we are in trouble. I saw another statistic, or heard a statistic that said that from the census that less than half, 47%, say that they are affiliated with the Christian church. 47% here in the United States. That's less than half of the United States that is Christian, or that even claim to be Christian. Our mission field is wide open. It's completely wide open. And if you think about that then too, there are a lot of people who claim to be Christian. But is there any evidence of that? Do they come to worship? Do they pray? They may pray at home. Do they help other people in the name of Christ? What is it in their religion that says that they are Christian? Our mission field is wide open. We simply need to say to people, come and see. Come join us. Come be a part. And I think when people do, when they see that Christ is within your life, and when they see the support that Christians give to one another, they too want to be a part of that. Sometimes it takes more than just words. Sometimes it does take action. Sometimes it takes a little bit more prodding. There was an international student from the Philippines who came to study at a university here in the United States. He was going to study law. And so as he was moving in, as he was getting his things in his dormitory, one of the upperclassmen who had been there at the university for several years noticed that he was new and stopped by and offered help and helped him move things in or unpack a few things. And in the midst of all that, in the conversation, the upperclassman asked, what church do you go to? What religion are you affiliated with? And the Filipino said, the Catholic Church. And so the student says, oh, I know where there's a Catholic church. It's not too far from here. Let me draw you a map. Well, Sunday came, and the weather was bad. It was raining fairly heavy. And the Philippine student decided, well, it's such bad weather outside, I don't think I want to try going to church this morning. But about that time then, the older student came by, knocked at his door, and he had two umbrellas with him. And he said, I know the weather's bad out here, so I thought I would just walk with you to the Catholic Church, to go visit the church. And so they went. And the weather was bad. It was raining pretty hard. The wind was trying to blow. And the Filipino student says, well, what church do you go to? And the other student mentioned, well, I go to another church. It's just right here around the corner. And the Filipino said, let's go there. It's closer. And so that's where they went. At that church then, those students were welcomed with open arms. And such open arms that the Filipino student decided, I'm staying here. I'm going to be a member of this church. I want to be a part of this place. And eventually, he changed his major from studying law to studying ministry. And then he became a pastor. And later on, he became a bishop. We never know where our connections are going to go, or never know when our invitation of come and see, come and be a part, come and join us, where that might end up, or with just a little help, with a little encouragement, with a little bit of friendliness, of what that will do. The mission field is wide open. There's people around us everywhere that do not have a church home, that have not heard the word of Christ in a way that they understand. They truly need to hear and see and be a part of what's going on with Christ. Christ gives us that call. Come and see. Come and be a part. Come and hear. We too can offer that to other folks. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.